Welcome to this week's Rock and Talk interview series, Around and Round with Jerry Cortez. Jerry is the guitarist and currently tours with the iconic band Tower of Power. His stories include coming up in the San Francisco Bay Area, as well as touring with the Youngbloods and Jesse Colin Young. He also writes, produces, and performs his own songs, and we're lucky to have him now residing in Central Mass. Enjoy! It's the same refrain. I'd like to welcome Jerry Cortez to a Rock and Talk series. We're so excited to have him in the studio to tell what he's been up to lately and his life story and all of his travels. He's currently the guitarist from Tower of Power, which is a huge band, and to be part of, it's great. And some of the stories from your past and what you're up to now, just looking forward to hearing everything. So, Jerry, welcome to WCUW's Rock and Talk.
Thank you, Gail. It's great to be here. So what do you want to know?
I don't know. Well, people start at the beginning. I know you said you wanted to talk about what you're up to now. I know you've been recording.
Well, we've been recording. We have a really exciting, fun show coming up, Tower Power does, in St. Louis. We're playing with the St. Louis Symphony. This is probably the 10th time we've done a symphony gig, and they've been all different cities. Like, we've done Denver, San Diego. One of my favorites was Red Rocks. We played outside of Denver. That was a highlight of my career, actually, playing there. There's some other places, too, of course. But we're going to be playing with the St. Louis Symphony, and I'm really looking forward to that. And one of the reasons I'm looking forward to this one in particular is we're going to add a song that has always been a Tower Power favorite ballad. The song is called Below Us All the City Lights, and it has beautiful orchestrations on it. And that's one of the things I always really appreciated about this song. And in fact, as a kid, the album came out in 1973, and I believe that's when it came out, and I was a junior in high school. I would go, it was on the vinyl, Below Us All the City Lights. That song was on side two, and I'd go right to side two, and I'd go to that last song and play that song first before anything else.
Wow.
It was just like such a good song. And then I'd probably start it over and listen to it again, but then listen to Below Us All the City Lights again.
Living their lives. and be back before dark. The moon is gone. The stars are fading as we take that one last look below us. All the city lights, how they go as we steal a kiss before we go. And now I realize our love has grown. The tenderness we have known will last below us. All the city lights keep on shining.
So it was just always really a beautiful song to play. And it's something the band hasn't played in a long time. Hmm. When I first got in the band, I was kind of vocal about me wanting to learn more songs, because it seemed like I've been playing the band for like the last 4 months now. We've been playing, it feels like we're playing the same songs. Can we learn some new songs? Mm-hmm. And I remember the leader, Emilio, said, yeah, if you write some charts. And so I think at that moment I opened up my laptop and I started listening and I started writing charts on my computer.
Oh, wow.
On the bus. There's like, oh, he's serious about this.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, we had a discussion about what songs would you like to do, you know? And he goes, what songs do you guys want to do? And I said, how about this, you know? And I remember one of the songs I brought up was Blow Us All the City Lights. And he goes, whoa, we haven't done that in a long time. So, but we did it. It was like the first year or so I was in the band. And then for some reason, it just kind of fell out of favor. We stopped doing it. So, but I had a moment, you know, because just recently, because Emilio called me just a couple nights ago and he said, I'm going to teach you your parts for Below Us All the City Lights. We have that show coming up and we have 4 sound checks to work on it before we actually do that gig. So we have 4 gigs coming up before we do St. Louis. I've changed the vocal parts a little bit. So here's your parts, write them down, you know. So I can hear him. He was playing on piano. He had electric piano there and he was singing my parts, you know. And I wrote down the notes, what he wanted me to sing. I told him, I said, I can't wait to do this song with St. Louis Symphony. I really could.
That must be a whole different thing because you got a symphony behind you.
Yeah, and wow. So it's incredible to hear all those instruments playing behind you. Marimbas, you know, harp, wow. You know, percussion, you know, all the percussion instruments, you know, big basses and everything. You know, it's amazing. But anyway, I had this moment. I hung up the phone. I was like, gosh, man, it's so amazing to me to think that the leader of the band, the guy who wrote one of my favorite songs, he's calling me to tell me my parts, and I'm actually going to sing it with that band.
And who would have thought that you as a teenager, you know,
me?
And now so here you are. That,
I have all these
kind
of like pinch me kind of moments, you know. No, that's somebody else. That can't be me, you know. It's been a blessing to be in Tower Power, for sure. I've had a chance to meet a lot of wonderful people over the years, and not even just celebrities, but just people I've become Facebook friends with, you know. We see them time and time again, and not just people in the U.S. but people in Japan, people in Australia, I mean, just all over the world, you know,
because you guys do travel all over the world.
Yes we do.
And how often are you away? Because that's going to be a little,
well, pre-pandemic we played like 125 shows a year, and we've kind of tapered it back a little bit. We're actually playing a little bit less. For the longest time, they were telling us, we want you guys, our management was saying, we want you guys to work smarter, not harder. So we're probably a few less dates these days. And my accountant, who's sitting right here, says, you guys are actually making a little more money than you used to. So that's been a
but
blessing. I haven't really thought about that too much myself. But
you like to travel.
I do like to travel.
Yeah.
But that is the hardest part, for sure. That's the most challenging part anyway.
Yeah.
The wear and tear. But, you know, it's all worth it for the 90 minutes I get to spend with Tower Power. You know, it's just the fun band. In fact, when I met my wife, Kathy.
The accountant,
yeah. I was playing at a blues club in San Francisco on Fisherman's Wharf.
Nice.
And, you know, so that's a busy area, a lot of traffic. Mm. And this place was called Lou's Pier 47 and had a restaurant downstairs. And the place was just full of windows, you know. And it was on the strip, you know, that was on the pier just down the street from Pier 39, you know, which is a big destination people want to go to, you know, all the time. And there's windows on top, and that's where the bar was. Mm. And there was a stage, a little tiny stage. And we used to all get on this cramped little stage and rock out. Man, it was really a lot of fun. So I was playing there after the show. I invited her to come outside and chat, you know.
Yeah.
And she asked me, she goes, "Hey, this is a pretty cool band you're playing." And this is, 1990. And she goes, "So pretty cool band you're playing with, but if you could play with any band, who would you want to play with?" And I said, "Tower of Power." She goes, "Why Tower of Power?" I answered, "Because that's how I play." And so I don't remember saying that, but that does sound like something I'd say. But
yeah.
I'm not calling her a liar, but I don't remember saying that. But yeah, at the time, I actually was in a band that played some Tower. We were only a four-piece. And we had a lead vocalist, but there were four keyboards, bass, guitar, and drums, you know. But it was a truly funky, funky band. It was really funky for four people, you know. And it was actually one of my favorite bands I'd played with. The band was called Stark Naked. I wasn't there when they named the band. Stark Naked. Yeah, N-E-K-K-I-D. But anyway, it was a really fun band. We had a lot of fun. The lead singer was this woman named Pamela Hawkins, and she had this attitude like, "Watch me or die."
Oh my God!
So great entertainer.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Well, since we're talking about Tower Power, which is like a huge deal, how did you end up with that band?
Oh yeah, that's a good thing. Well, going back to early '80s. I met this the sax player who's the lead tenor sax player in the band. He's been in the band for 23 years now. I've been in the band for 16. I met him when I was playing with Robin Ford's younger brother, Mark Ford, in a great band. It was called the Mark Ford Band. In fact, it started off that Mark put the band together and he wanted to call the band Bikers Without Wheels.
That's a cute name.
I know, it was. And we called it that for just a short while, maybe a month or so. It was pretty short-lived. But we all loved the name. Then finally we're going, "Mark, you know, you've established yourself, you know, around this area, you know, just keep, we're okay with just keeping it the Mark Ford Band. Just keep it you know." Because we loved him, you know, we really did. And I had a lot of fun working with him. We wrote a lot of songs together at the time. We had a lot of laughs doing it as well. And we did a lot of things that were outside our comfort zone, you know, because we were kind of like rock and blues kind of players and performers and that sort of thing. And I was really trying to explore this whole thing with pop music and stuff. And Mark was a good sport about it, and he went along with it. And we did some fun little pop kind of tunes, you know, and the rest of the band seemed okay with it too. They were like, "Hey, this is fun. You know, we didn't always get to do this. We can always play the blues, you know."
And how did that turn into you playing with Todd?
Well, I'll tell you. So one night on stage, Mark introduced, we were in Redwood City, California, this place called Barney Steele's. And he goes, "Oh, we'd like to bring up a friend who's going to play some saxophone." So this gentleman walks up on stage kind of sheepishly and shy. You know, he's young. He's wearing glasses, and he had a pocket protector. You know what I mean? Just total band kid, you know?
Wow.
And I was going, "Oh boy, here we go." Then we started playing. He went into a solo. I went, "Whoa, who is this guy?"
Wow.
He blew me away. I was like, "Whoa, band kid, monster." I say band kid because I was a band kid myself. So
yeah.
So I'm not putting anybody down. I was a band kid myself. Band kid. How nerdy is this? I played tuba.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's pretty nerdy.
Yeah. I loved it. Well, I went and wanted to play flute, but the band director goes, I really need tuba players. You interested?" I went, "Oh yeah, that sounds like, to me, it sounded like way more fun than playing the flute." So I still can play the flute a little bit. But anyway, that's another story. Sorry. So Tom came in, and this was Tom Politzer, who's the lead tenor sax player in Tower Power. And he's killing it to this day. And I mean, all these years later, I mean, he's still bringing it.
Wow.
Big time. In fact, more and more all the time. You know, it's, he's just a monster player. But I remember he got done with that song when he sat in with us back in the day, and he started to walk off the stage, you know, and I went to go hey, you don't have to leave the stage. But anyway, as I did that, I somehow grabbed his collar and it almost ripped his shirt off.
Oh, jeez.
Because he was moving so fast. It was like, I was like, oh, hey, sorry, man. I said, hey, if you want, you just stay up here with us. You know, you could play all night with us if you want. You just stay. And he goes, oh, okay, sure. And he did. And we should have invited him just to be a member of the band. But, you know, but anyway, we met then. And then through other mutual friends, we did a lot of playing together. And then we ended up doing a lot of recording sessions together, Tom and I did. We worked for the Muzak Environmental Channel. Yes, I've played
elevator?
But you know, that's actually a myth. It's actually never been played on an elevator. I've actually gotten off elevators in hotel rooms and gone, oh, hey, I remember playing that, you know. Hotel rooms, but I got off the elevator in hotels and I could hear it in the lobby.
Oh, that's funny.
Or outside, like in the
Yeah, so it wasn't actually on the elevator.
Not on the elevators, but I do remember hearing it in hotel lobbies and airports, and
that's
I've heard
funny.
It in grocery stores. But we played on like about 1,000 titles. And in fact, from that situation to this day, the guy that produced all that stuff is the gentleman who produces my stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, my original music.
Oh,
his name's Donnie Merrow. He's good mate. Really good mate, good friend of mine, and so we met back in 1992, and we're still putting music out together. And he's got his fingers in all kinds of pies. He's doing all kinds of working with other artists and that sort of thing. But that's how I met Tom. And so through Tom, over the years playing, doing a lot of sessions, we also played a lot of gigs together as well. Kind of what they call out here, they call them general business.
Mm-hmm.
Out in California, they call them casuals.
Casuals?
Yeah, casuals. Same thing as general business.
Yeah.
GBs. Yeah, so we worked together many years until 2007. We moved to Salt Lake, and as soon as that happened, I get a call from Emilio Castillo, the leader of Tower Power, asking me to join the band. And as soon as he said that, I'm on the phone with him, I was like, I can't believe I had to move to Utah to join my favorite Bay Area band.
that changed everything.
Yeah, it not at first it didn't, because what happened is he said, hey, you know, we're playing in Salt Lake City, we're playing in Park City, so come to the gig and bring your guitar and you could play it, sound check. He goes, because we're interested, we'd like to have you join the band, you know. I said, yeah, sounds great. So I get off the phone, he calls me back in a couple hours, and he goes, hey, you know what? We're actually trying out a guy right now, and I don't want to make him feel uncomfortable, but so don't bring your guitar. But if you could still come, it'd be great. I said, yeah, we'd love to. Yeah. So we went and saw the band and talked to him after and met everybody. And that might have been the first time that I met him earlier than that, but that's another story. Went and saw him in Park City, and all was good. We listened to him. And then I think it was probably within a few weeks or so, you know, I didn't really hear anything back from them after going there and hanging out with them after the show and everything. And then finally, Kathy went and looked on their website, comes to me with her open laptop, and she goes, who's this guy? I said, what guy? She goes, this isn't even the guitar player we saw play with him. She goes, what's going on with these guys? I mean, they dangle these carrots in front of you and say, hey, you want to join the band? And then they, you know, didn't say anything like, hey, we know we're going to go with this guy. But anyway, so it turns out that guy didn't work out. He was in the band for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. And during that couple of years, what ended up happening for me was actually really, really a great thing. We had just moved to Utah, and I was asked to teach a group guitar at a charter high school. So I taught two periods of that. Meanwhile, Kathy, my wife, ended up becoming a counselor and a teacher there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, created some curriculum for them as well. Yeah. That was a really, really good time for me. I had so much fun teaching the kids, because I was teaching seventh graders all the way up through high school kids.
Good age.
Yeah. So it was really a lot of fun. And so I had really had a lot of fun formulating a curriculum and something that we could actually play together as a group. So I kind of treated it like me and my band kid experience, I arranged all these songs, popular tunes of the day, like a band, like first chair, second chair, third chair. Mm-hmm. Like the first chair were actually improvising, and like, you know, fourth and fifth chair were like playing whole notes on two strings, you know, kids that are just starting out, you know.
Yeah.
So, but I made it work, and it was really a lot of fun. So that was really a rewarding time. Plus, I was also teaching privately. Yeah. And I wasn't doing much gigging because I didn't really know anybody in the area just yet as far as doing any gigging. And the whole 17 years we were there, I really didn't do much playing.
Wow.
Until I joined Tower Power.
Around and round, the record goes, spinning tales of joy and woes. Round and round, hear it skip and spin, turn it, turn it, just can't win. Turn it, just can't win. Turn it, just can't win with you.